throw balls far. You want good words? Data languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kauf with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Friday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Got some different topics today. Something that we kind of became a staple on the show and we haven't done in a while, and I don't even think I told him yet. But at the end of the show, the last segment, what's on Jared's mind? It's always interesting when we peek into the mind of Jared Atha. You never know where that's headed. So we'll find out what's on Jared's mind at the end of the show. The NCAA, the Wild Wild West, is it getting even worse with some proposals from the competition committee? Exactly a 180 from what I think the NCAA wants to do as far as the portal and how to kind of rein that thing in. What's that ultimate solution? Also have some betting odds, national title odds out on the ESPN website that we've been going through. Also week zero, week one lines. That'll be in the middle of the show, but right off the top, it is Friday, and it is Financial Fridays with Scott. Garrison Financial has jumped aboard. We couldn't be more happy to have him. Scott's sitting right here in studio. We've got some questions monetarily in sports. One of the big things that came out of the last week was the mayor, David Holt, of Oklahoma City, talking about the possibility or the reality of Oklahoma City needing a new arena for the Thunder and then all the ancillary parts that come off of that, having that entertainment venue. We're going to talk to Scott about why that makes sense or why that doesn't make sense, depending on what side of the road you're on. And then also, I kind of scooched another one in there on him, NIL. Are these guys really getting that money, or is this all for show? So that's what we'll talk about with Scott right here off the top. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line, 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things or whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're outside the listening area or going to be outside the listening area for some reason, you can still stay in touch with the show live by live streaming on KADSAM.com or download the Paragon app. That's the best way to do it because of everything you get. You get all three radio stations with KECO, Cool 94, and us on KADS. You get the Penny News, a brand new edition of the Penny News. Hit the website Wednesday. You can check it out on the app, thepennynews.com, or go pick up a free copy of the Penny News. You also get Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. 5 weeks from today, we will be in a rush to get everything done to get to Big Elk Stadium.
No, we won't.
We won't.
Oh, you mean to get it?
I'm talking about to get to Big Elk Stadium, yeah. To get everything set up and make sure that it works.
Because I'm already getting ready for Big Elk TV.
You need
TV.
That computer?
Yeah.
I forgot it. I ran off and forgot it.
That's all right.
Big Elk TV, Paragon TV, Merritt Football. Also, I think we can say it finally, welcome to Paragon TV, Hollis Tigers football.
Yeah.
We'll have both of those covered on Paragon TV this year with the live streams of all those high school sports. Also, if you missed the show entirely, you can check out the podcast on KADSAM.com and also iTunes. If you go the iTunes route, subscribe to it, and then you are alerted each and every day when a new podcast drops. I mentioned it's Financial Fridays with Scott. Welcome in, Scott Garrison.
Hey, how's it going?
Let me ask, is it just me? I'm feeling a little nostalgic with you and I talking. It's like I almost feel like I'm on the corner.
Back on
3rd and Main.
Back at the barber shop. Yeah, except I don't have a straight razor up to your neck.
That's true. So I might be able to ask some questions I couldn't ask back then. Feeling a little bit more comfortable
What in the Sweeney Todd is going on here? What are we talking about?
Scotty was the barber.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh.
Yep. So from 98 to 2007.
Clearly, I don't care about barbers, so.
he'd have had you dead smooth. Dead smooth.
Yeah, I bet.
Might have left a little rat tail like I did to Casey Miller a long time ago.
All right, so you mentioned your barber from to 2007. Then you went with the family biz there for a little bit with the car washes with Ron. Now what are you doing?
Now I'm at Garrison Financial while I was with the car washes, still with the car washes. But at Garrison Financial, I just needed something to do with my brain, and I've always been into investing and taking advantage of opportunities in the market. And so started studying, got my Series 65, and then started looking for companies to go to work with. And now I am not working with anybody. I am completely independent. I've got a company that takes care of my compliance back work to make sure that I'm not turning into the next Bernie Madoff or anything like that. So I just work with the individual clients to develop a plan around their needs or their goals or what they want to achieve.
How does that work? Just somebody comes in, somebody email, somebody call you, and you just get started from scratch? Or
yeah.
Are how does a person get in touch with you to be able to do that?
They can get in touch with me at scott@soonerwealth.com. They can either email me there or they can give me a call. We can just sit down and go over their financial situation. Sometimes they don't want to go over their financial situation. Sometimes they just want to write me a check and have me go look for opportunities, and we can do that too.
That's awesome. All right, so we mentioned that the Thunder and the mayor of Oklahoma City, David Holt, kind of out of nowhere a little bit last week, brought the idea of, hey, we have the third oldest arena in the NBA right now outside of Madison Square Garden. That one doesn't count. They're never going to change. That's always going to be a thing. So outside of that one, the Thunder's arena, Ford Center, now Paycom Center, it's gone through a couple of different names. But it's the third oldest one in the NBA, which to me seems shocking.
Absolutely.
Is that a sign that we're old? Because we remember when it was built, and it still feels new to us, but it's not.
No.
Is it a sign that we're just old, or?
That we were down there and went on the first ferry ride downtown Oklahoma City?
Yeah.
Okay, so and that's going to come with a hefty price tag. There's no doubt about that. Somewhere between $400 and $600 million is kind of the going rate or whatever.
It's a lot of money.
Seems like a lot of money, and it is a lot of money. But does it make sense?
It makes absolute sense.
Tell everybody why.
It's a no-brainer. Well, I'll let you talk about some of the research that you did, but the revenue that comes in from these arenas, you tell us the research that you did on the tax revenue from each game.
Yeah, the Thunder itself, just the games, regular season games, the economic impact that is provided by a regular season Thunder game is $1.3 million.
Yeah.
So you multiply that by 41 12 times.
Yeah.
And I did like 30 for the COVID, the season that got interrupted by COVID. I think they probably played a couple more than that. But anyhow, that comes up to $642 million. Just the 12 regular seasons, $39 million for the cut short season in COVID. Then we figured, add on maybe the playoff games that have been here.
Yeah, playoffs have.
A little bit more.
A little more.
Went to $2 million. That could be a little shy.
So keep in mind the playoff games, because that's going to come into the Jeopardy question that I'm going to ask.
Scott's got a question for you.
Okay.
So and that's $212 million for 106 playoff games that have been in Oklahoma City in these 13 years. Now,
that's not $600 million.
That's $893 million. And that's also only 13 years, missing a full season. So you can add another $53 million onto that. So you're getting close to that billion-dollar mark in just 13 years.
And that's not counting all of the venues that came into Oklahoma City because they did not have an arena big enough to suit their needs. The big-time music stars, like we said, even the monster truck deal that comes in down there. Supercross that comes in. Supercross has a huge following.
So let's say that doubles it. That gets it to $2 billion in 13 years. That's halfway home to a life expectancy of one of those arenas, say 30 years. That's about what this one's going to be when it gets ushered out.
That's a pretty good rate of return.
You think?
Absolutely.
$5 or $6 billion, and it's only going to cost you $600 million to build it?
For a small market, that's an absolute boon. That's awesome.
Easy.
Yeah.
Easy decision.
Yeah.
So okay, here's your Jeopardy question. Are you ready for it?
I am ready.
Okay. What state implemented a very quick money grab to change the tax implications of professional athletes for the rest from now on? That's the first part. And the second part is, what athlete was at the center of it?
Oh, man. Hang on. Let me think about this.
What state changed
They implemented a quick money grab. They wanted to get some quick bucks. And it will forever change tax implications for professional athletes.
This just happened.
This happened a long
time
ago.
I
remember this. It's faint, but I remember it.
The thing that leaps to mind just because of what happened is Florida for LeBron James.
It is not Florida for LeBron James.
Okay.
It is.
I was going to go to Florida, yeah.
What state's always pulling a quick money grab?
Illinois.
How about California?
California, yeah.
Okay. All right. 1991, the Chicago Bulls go to L.A. for the finals, and California institutes a tax anytime a professional athlete plays in their state.
That's why.
They get to prorate their yearly salary, and they get to implement the state of California's income tax for any games played inside the state of California.
That's exactly right. Mm. So somebody, you know, you always hear about athletes gravitating, especially in the NBA, when any of this is brought up about free agency, Miami is always one of those destinations, and a big part of that is because there's no state income tax. And you think of that on the whole of the salary, but the truth of it is, it's only on 41 games at home and then a couple that you might play against Orlando. The rest of that, it goes all the way around wherever
you're
playing. You're
paying state income tax. So some of those NBA players will actually have 23 to 27 state income tax filings that they have to do each year. You thought your taxes were bad.
Man.
And that's why Scotty is the financial planner. To be able to make sure you maximize that contract, because the cool thing about that is, not really, but even if you don't play in the state of California, and especially if you're in the Western Conference, you get the luxury of having about 10 games out there because of the Kings, the Clippers, the Lakers, and the Warriors.
Yeah.
So you might as well.
And it's actually there's only 4 states that don't do it now. Every state is doing it, including Oklahoma. And so that's when I was researching the tax implications. The Oklahoma City Thunder alone pay in $7 million a year in income tax to the state of Oklahoma. That's just from their salary. That doesn't include their endorsements, their royalties that they might have, or other things.
And then the state taxes
every single team that comes in.
That's right. There's another 325 guys that have to pay a certain amount of those giant salaries in payroll tax.
Yeah.
To the state of Oklahoma, and income tax to the state of Oklahoma. Very, very interesting. I guess, partly thank you, California. You don't say that very often.
Wow.
I guess. The players that play in Oklahoma City probably don't think that. But,
no.
You know, the Oklahoma residents do. One last one on the financial stuff. NIL is all the rage, has been for the past year or so. We see these crazy numbers. I mean, just this week, every single scholarship player at Tech is getting $25,000. 100 of them are getting $25,000 a year. We've seen the Texas at 50. You know, certain individuals upwards of a couple of million.
Absolutely.
Are they really getting this money?
So that's one of the biggest things that when I was researching actually for the Thunder. These kids don't realize they sign their first NBA contract, and it's the same thing with the name, image, likeness. And this is actually what the NCAA was saying they were protecting the kids from. Those guys in the NBA, they might sign $1 billion signing bonus or $1 million signing bonus, and they come back and they get their check, and it's about $400,000+ mm-hmm. after the tax man gets his, after their agent gets his, next thing you know. So that is one of the things that the NCAA used to say that they were always trying to protect the kids from. I think it was more that the NCAA wanted all of the money.
Yeah. I think you're right there.
Yep.
But it's certainly opening up a door for major abuse of these kids.
Yeah, and that's are we just seeing this in the light that's always been happening in the dark?
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, one thing it will be interesting to see is because we're saying that this is making the small players gone forever, that the small market teams aren't going to have a chance to compete with the Alabamas and the Oklahomas and the Michigans. But if you take a look at it in the 80s when this was really it wasn't happening, but it was happening, mm-hmm. and everybody knew it was happening, SMU made a run for the national championship. You got enough boosters. You got enough rich boosters. Doesn't really matter what kind of market your team is. You can go buy that new IROC or Corvette for Eric Dickerson, mm-hmm. and not that I'm sure that he did not get that. But
that's sure. That's one of my favorite 30 for 30s is the SMU one.
Fantastic.
There's no doubt. Yeah, and your point is being proven right now. If you look at the recruiting rankings, out of nowhere, Louisville has like 3 5-star guys committed in this class that's going to be seniors right now.
I did not know that.
And what, I mean, are they just like, you know, horse racing, mint juleps?
Louisville Sluggers.
Yeah, baseball. Well, maybe that Italian restaurant Rick Pitino always liked.
How many players has Deion Sanders bought with his own money?
And that's another one. Yeah, Jackson State. It's a crazy, crazy world. And it's just hard to believe that, you know, some of I almost liked it more when you could hear the, you know, Alabama and Auburn going back and forth, trying to spill the beans on what was really going on, you know. There was the deal where Cam Newton and all those Auburn guys weren't getting paid money, but they would walk into the casino that one of the boosters owned and get thousands of dollars worth of chips, play a couple hands, and then walk out with all the money, you know, cash out. That's more fun to me than, oh, they're just going to sign this guy to a $50,000 contract.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, Scotty, we're going to be doing this all month long at least. Financial Fridays with Scott. Tell us once again, what can you give the listener out there financially to help their portfolio and help them invest their money wisely?
I just like to work with clients. I mean, the thing that I enjoy the most is working with clients to make their assets the most tax efficient and catered to their risk tolerances we can possibly be.
Awesome. We'll have to think of something for next week. A topic. A financial topic.
Oh, one will come up.
Maybe somebody can shoot in their ideas on the
text line. 225-9698. If you want to hear something about the financial world of sports, I know betting is a big thing for me that I would get into. There's always something with LIV Golf and all the money they're making. There's always something. And I know you can't wait to talk about World Cup.
World
corruption. Cup,
it's sad.
I know you can't wait to talk about
that. They're destroying the massive following of soccer in Oklahoma.
And we are back to the Barbershop Days right now. We made it all the way back. Scott Garrison of Garrison Financial, thank you so much.
Thank you guys for stopping by.
Yeah.
When we come back, we'll hit more of that portal NIL stuff. Wild, wild west coming if the competition committee gets their way. It's a Friday on the Skinny on Sports, and we'll see what's on Jared's mind a little bit later on as well.
Hello, my name is Scott Garrison. You may remember me as Scott the Barber or just as Ron and Carla's son. I've been involved in our community since opening Scott's Barbershop on the southeast corner of 3rd and Main in 1998. Now I'm back in the same building as Garrison Financial. I started investing in my 20s. I invested through the dot-com crash and the Great Recession. I started caring for other people's money in 2018, and I truly enjoy sitting down with my clients, understanding their wants and needs, as well as what keeps them up at night. Whether my friends just want me to invest a little of their savings or want me to work with their tax and legal professionals to strive towards optimal efficiency, we can do it all. I believe communication is key to helping my clients reach their goals. For if we are faithful over a few things, we shall be given more. Contact me at scott@soonerwealth.com. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer member, FINRA, and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Garrison Financial and Cambridge are not affiliated. This communication is strictly intended for individuals residing in the states of Colorado, Nevada, Oklahoma, and Texas. No offers may be made or accepted from any resident outside the specific states referenced. Cambridge does not offer tax and legal advice.
The Skinny on Sports.
Mock! Yeah! Ing! Yeah!
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal. Man, it's interesting to think about all the different financial ramifications that go along with the tax returns. And I mean, think about how thick these guys' tax returns are.
Yeah. I mean, they're just hiring one guy to do it all, right? I mean, they're hiring a tax guy. You know, they're hiring a Scott Garrison guy. You know, just to
invest my money.
You got a financial advisor that you trust that's going to take care of you, just like Scott does. So, I mean, yeah, it sounds like a lot when you got to file that many tax returns and everything, but they're making a lot of money. It's like, okay, I'm going to hire a couple guys to handle this that I trust.
You know, there was, when you mentioned the tax coming out of your check, I remember one of the 30 for 30s that ESPN did, it was called Broke. Hmm. And it examined how these athletes get themselves into financial trouble after making all that money.
Yeah.
And that was one of the main kind of couple of things that they get into was those guys having no clue about paying taxes.
Right. And you like to see, and you see it more often, I'm sure every school has them now, but they make their student athletes take these financial classes to learn about that, to understand in the real world, this is what you got to do. It's not like you see on TV or you think, oh, they just signed this multi-million-dollar deal with bonus incentives and all this stuff and all that cash is in your pocket. That's not the case. And we know it's at OU, it's at OSU, it's at these big-time universities, and I'm sure smaller ones as well. And that makes sense to bring your – and they make it mandatory for those student-athletes. Get in there and learn what's going to happen in the real world when you're out at that professional level, whether it be athletically or in a career.
Yeah, and I know
it's
that
stuff that I am so thankful that my parents taught me. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not saying school failed me or anything, but I took that example of my parents, how they were financially responsible, paying taxes, balancing a checkbook, stuff like that. Well, it's sad, but it slips through the cracks. Some kids slip through the cracks, and then you get that situation like that 30 for 30 you're talking about.
Yeah, and you know, I know the leagues, as they get the rookies together after drafts, they send them through these symposiums of having financial guys come in there and explain to them what's happening. Clearly, a bunch of them don't listen because, I mean, those guys even talked about it. Yeah, we went through that class, didn't think it mattered, weren't paying any attention.
Right.
Thinking, oh, looky here, I've got a $6 million contract that pays me $1.5 million a year and – you know, I can divide that out by 12 or however many months that they're actually going to get paid. Thinking, oh, yeah, this is going to be great. I'm going to have an $850,000 check right here. And then look and go, why is it only $400?
Right. Right.
And those things, there's so many things that come out of that. And especially at that level, when it's no offense to any of those guys, but very few of them are able to negotiate contracts. So they pay somebody to do that.
Sure.
You know, then they get, you know, if they're wanting to be wise with their money, get somebody like Scott to do that. I mean, all that comes with the cost. And if you're not paying attention to it, you know, that's or not getting told that, yeah, those guys are just oblivious. A bunch of them were.
You ever sit around and you have conversations with your buddies just hanging out and say, what would you do if you won the jackpot? Money was never a worry, rest of your life, what would you do? And everyone said, I'd buy a boat. I'd buy this mansion. I'd buy this. I'd buy a golf course. I'd say I'd hire a lawyer, a financial advisor, and a tax guy.
Here's the question. We're going to have to ask him this next time on this exact subject because I've heard tons of different answers to this question and different reasons why. There's only two options. But if you did win the lottery, do you take it in monthly installments? Do you take it in installments?
Or one lump sum?
Or do you take it in one lump sum?
Installments.
Why?
I'm more apt to spend it in first place if I got one lump sum. I'd want installments for how many? It'd be for the rest of my life, I guess. Or
yeah, I know, but what if, I guess.
Installments for how long? 20 years?
No, I think I think they pay it out. Yeah, let's say I think it's longer than that.
Longer than that?
Yeah, let's say it's 50-year payout from right now.
Okay. Yeah. Because.
But.
However.
Do you know or not know if you die, does it stop?
Does it? Or do I not know? I'm asking.
Do you know? I'm not
but
sure.
But that's where I would take installments if I knew that it was still to my kids.
29 years, I believe, is the...
29 years, okay. Whew, it's pushing it.
Oh, dear. And this is actually a...
Is it an actual lottery winner?
I don't think so, but there's a big old long article about it right here.
Okay, we don't have time to read a long article. We got 30 more minutes. If I knew I can get it in installments... and it was still benefiting my family after I'm gone, yeah, I want it in installments to continue to help my kids and maybe my kids' kids.
Okay, so you're looking at about 37% federal tax to take it as a lump sum.
Yeah, but to take it as a lump sum,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, say, I mean, depending on what the size of it was, you know, if you're getting, if it's a 600, and this example here is $630 million, well, guess what? Your monthly or your whatever your installments are going to be in a bracket that causes you to pay that same 37%.
Sure, so you're not, there's no way around
it. You're either going to pay it all at once or you're going to pay it all throughout the life of it. The question I would have, the main question I would have would be this. What happens if I die?
That's my main question. Yeah.
What happens if I die?
For reasons I just said.
If it doesn't go to, you know, if it can only go to me and I die, I'm not risking 29 years.
Understood. Yeah. But if I can put it in a will and I can guarantee that it's going to go to my kids or my wife and kids, et cetera, I'd take it in installments.
Yeah, this does say you can kind of set up.
Yeah, like a trust.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Foundation.
Man, when did this show turn into the Dave Ramsey show?
When Scott showed up.
Well, the Scott Garrison show.
It is. It's Garrison Financial Friday. Scott was in here talking about the new arena for the Thunder and all the advantages to building that economically for Oklahoma City.
Makes sense. Imagine building a house that made you money.
Yeah, and not
right?
and pays for itself.
Yeah.
Let's say it's $600 million and you generate $6 billion. Do the math. It's 10
it's a,
times.
It's a no-brainer.
10 times in 30 years.
Yeah.
So every 3 years, boom, you've paid for it. Makes a lot of sense. Scott can do full financial planning. He shops the open market to bring the best value on life insurance and investments or some other things that we'll tell you about as we move along. So yesterday afternoon, I started seeing a couple of tweets and reading up a little bit, and it seems like there's becoming a push to do something about the portal. Now, depending on who you're talking to, that something are totally different ideas. One, with the kind of what you would almost consider like the Players Association side of things in college football, specifically, their idea to fix the portal is to have no rules. Players can transfer as many times as they want to throughout their career with zero ramifications. As far as setting out, nothing. Just play here a year. If you don't like it, boom, you can go somewhere else. The next year, play, don't like it, boom, go to the next place. Almost like the Tate Martell rule, since he played for about four schools in 5 years. So that's their idea, is zero restrictions. Whereas on the other side, having a sit out a year to try to curb, because as much to me as the NIL is an issue, it's not the main issue, I don't feel like. The main issue is it coupled with the fact that the portal is so wide open, it's just hard to have any continuity to any of these teams on any level in any of the sports.
Yeah, you know, we talked about real world situations in college, supposed to prepare you for the real world. That's not the real world, to just go 1 year, I don't like it here, go next year to another school, I don't like it here. In the real world, in the NFL, in the NBA, you have contracts. You are, and then you play for whatever you. You know, I'm not suggesting that the college sports should go into a trade scenario or free agent scenario, but there needs to be some restrictions on it to understand, like, okay, you commit here, you commit to this place for at least 2 years of your college career, something like that, because that's kind of how it works in the NFL and the NBA. You have two-year contracts, et cetera. You can't just play 1 year for the Panthers and then decide you don't like it, then go play another year for the 49ers. Decide you don't like it, then go to the Cowboys. And what happens when you try to do that in the transfer portal? Eventually, I think schools are going to go, or coaches are going to go, no, you've been to a school for you've been to three schools in 3 years. I don't want you because you're going to leave me in 1 year. So there needs to be some restrictions on this.
Yeah, I mean, it makes it really difficult. And listen, nobody out there is going to be crying and a sob story for college football coaches. When you look at what look at what Kirby Smart got paid yesterday, making all that money, nobody cares. And, you know, really and truly, outside of they want their team to be able to keep their quarterback for 3 years and not really have that cloud hanging up over his over anybody's head going, oh, boy, and especially, you know, with that position being so important but also being so babied and coddled from the time that they're little kids, you know, that's the one that'll upset the apple cart pretty easy. So no one cares necessarily outside of their team that these coaches are having a harder time. But the truth of the matter is they are. And the one thing that I think you're starting to see, it maybe not as much as college football because they're so the teams are so big, but for sure in college basketball, you're starting to see a group be kind of minimalized, and that is the high school recruits. Because coaches have almost taken a little bit of a stance of, okay, there's certain guys that sure will sign, but why would we want to waste our time recruiting a kid at 18 years old that we don't have any idea what his potential – we know what we think his potential is, mm-hmm. but we don't know if he's going to get there. Why would we do that when we can go over here to a smaller school, a kid that's played 3 or 4 years, and get him as a grad transfer to come in here and play a year? You know, I think that's that's you're really starting to see the effects of the portal being so open with recruiting, especially in college basketball.
Yeah, that it takes away the shine on signing day, you know, because I've talked about this with the pageantry of college football in fan passion, where, you know, remember when signing day in college football was a day where everybody stopped and they went crazy because you got this kid, because you knew more than likely, this way back before the portal and NIL, that, hey, this kid's committed to us for at least 3 years if things don't go south. Now it's hard for me to get excited about getting a 4-star or even 5-star kid on campus. I'm like, well, that's great and all, but after a year or two and he's not happy, he's in the portal.
So here's I just got this point on the on my phone on a text. It's a two-way street.
And that's always been – that was why, kind of Venable's motto,
no,
too.
Not for players. Oh. Why do players have to honor a contract when coaches aren't?
Oh, I see what you're saying. I thought you said the portal was a two-way.
No.
Yeah.
The whole thing's a two-way street.
Yeah.
Coaches, I mean, we just saw that here.
Yeah, I agree.
So it's hard to make – this is kind of what brought this about, right? That the players wanting to have more options – and control what they're doing instead of just being kind of told what to do by coaches when coaches didn't have any real honor and loyalty other than what they chose to show to a certain school, however you want to even define that. So it's kind of hard to – it feels like that goes backwards to what started this all together. But I don't disagree. To me, the one thing that would do it, and maybe stop a little bit of the transferring, just because you're upset, is making them sit out a year, like it has been. If you transfer, you have to sit out a year every time you do it. But even that's first off, that's becoming a thing of the past with everybody having at least one free transfer. So you know that it's hard to put stuff back inside Pandora's box once it flies open.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. And you talk about the coaches thing, you know, they can contracts be damned. They go wherever they want, whenever they want, buyouts, etc. It makes you wonder, should they look at them as some kind of a, yes, there's buyouts, but maybe some more financial penalties for them leaving their contract early. But then, you know, that's legally, I don't know if anyone can do that. And then you're going to have a coach that's kind of a lame duck coach, and they're upset, and they're just going to sit on the sideline in a lawn chair and go, well, they're forcing me to be here, but I'm not going to do my job. It's a tricky situation, but I totally agree. Coaches should be – I mean, I totally get it. Totally get it.
Efforting a question. I forgot to ask the –
Oh.
I forgot to ask the trivia question for this final.
For the golf pass. Passport.
For the final golf pass.
What, are you looking a golf-related question? What are you looking for? Maybe I can help you.
I am looking for the same question.
You have a question in mind.
Asked yesterday, except for a different school, and I have found it. Maybe.
For OSU? Man.
Yes.
Okay.
Who is the all-time career rushing leader at Oklahoma State University? Yesterday we had OU. It was Samaje Perine by 4 yards over Billy Sims. Today the question is, who is the all-time leading rusher career at Oklahoma State University? 225-9698 is the text line. You have to text. Don't text me. You have to text 9698 in order to win the final golf passport. So far we had Cade, we had Bill, and we had Dakota as the winners. 225-9698. All-time career leading rusher in Oklahoma State Cowboy.
This one should history. Be pretty easy, don't you think?
I think people will say the wrong name.
You think it's going to be the obvious?
Yes.
Running back.
That's what I think will happen. I think people will say the wrong name. Right off the bat, I think one leaps to mind just because of...
Well, you say OSU and running back, and one's going to immediately leap to mind, absolutely.
That's what I think. And then it'll go, and then it's the other one.
We might have...
Probably gave it away there.
Probably gave it away, but we only have 19 minutes,
so... 225-9698. All-time career leading rusher in Oklahoma State history.
Very good.
225-9698. I just told you can't text my line and get the win. 225-9698.
We're like Tradio. We have rules.
Yeah. We're cracking down like Drew does over there on Tradio.
You're going to get blocked.
Okay, here we go. National title odds. You know, we've been going through this list of betting odds that's been out on ESPN. There it is.
Hey.
The correct answer. Thurman Thomas. Thurman Thomas is the correct answer.
Damn.
Send us your name also. We'll tell you who won, and we'll have that golf passport here at the station. We'll give you directions if you need it. Thurman Thomas is the correct answer, the all-time leading rusher in Oklahoma State Cowboy football history. Okay, so here we go with the...
Hey,
good deal.
Good deal. Congratulations.
Out-of-towner, Clintonite.
He's a avid listener, though.
Fantastic. We'd like to pick his brain. I was being asked this week by somebody from Clinton how they thought the Big Elk football team was going to be this year.
Mm.
So maybe we can go back the other way and see what's the anticipation for the defending champion Red Tornadoes.
Yeah.
Okay, so the
– Can we say his name? Surely we can.
Go ahead.
Justin Jefferson?
Yes. Yeah.
Mr. Justin Jefferson, our winner.
Congratulations.
Awesome.
Three schools – are at the top of the heap in the national title chase as far as odds.
Okay.
The obvious three.
Pretty easy.
Alabama, Ohio State, and Georgia. Of the three, Alabama is a pretty big favorite. They're only plus 180, so 1.8 to 1. Ohio State plus 375, Georgia plus 400. Would you feel comfortable going into the season, betting each of those to win and nobody else?
Yeah. You're asking me to pick
those three versus the field?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You got your defending champs.
Here's what you're doing.
You got your Alabamas and then Ohio State, who looks loaded.
So if you're going to make that bet, there's actually odds on that.
I can make a bet that one of the three would win?
Correct.
Okay.
You can make a
probably not a good return, I would imagine.
No, it's exactly the opposite of that. It would cost you $345 to win 100.
Oh.
Whereas the other, if you took the field, it's plus 270, so 100 to win 270. You're still making that bet.
Yeah. Yeah. You made me pause a little bit, but...
Well, that's the point of odds.
Yeah. It's hard to see anyone outside of those three. Can you see a dark horse? Can you see somebody that could really contend with them?
Hang on. We'll get to that. That'll be the next question.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Here's the question between the three. From a value standpoint, would you rather have Alabama at plus 180, Ohio State at plus 375, or Georgia at plus 400?
Well, Georgia's the lowest of the three.
Lowest of the three, but do you think they have the best chance to win? I mean, you've got to balance that.
So you asked me to pick one?
Yeah, pick one of those three.
You know what? Ohio State.
Me too. Yeah. I think that's easy. Because here's the thing. Those other two are going to have the ability to knock the other one out.
Right.
Possibly of even a trip to the playoff.
Right.
At some point in the season. Yeah, I think plus 375 for Ohio State. Being in a different conference.
And they don't have to go through as much of a murderer's row of a schedule like Georgia and Alabama. There's a chance they could slip up twice. You never know. You know, that's a tough schedule in the SEC. You've heard that for years. Ohio State, not knocking the Big Ten, but let's face it, it's easier than the SEC schedule.
Okay. Back to your question. If there is a dark horse or somebody from the tier just below those three, who would you take? So the question is, if you take the field,
who
are you kind of zeroing in on as the field?
Conventional wisdom would make you lean Notre Dame, but they got a first-year head coach. There's a lot of unanswers or unknowns there. I don't think A&M, despite the huge recruiting classes ready yet, I think they're a year away.
Here's what's crazy. You know what Notre Dame's odds are?
Pretty good, I bet.
50-1.
I kind of want to lean Michigan. Where are they at?
Michigan's also 50-1.
Okay. I kind of want to lean there. I think Vegas and a lot of experts, loose term, like Michigan because they think finally Harbaugh's figured it out. And so they're finally going to be contenders in the Big Ten and on a national stage. So that's why they get some favorable odds. So I'll lean that way. I know Vegas really likes that other team out west.
Yeah, I saw that more money had been bet on them, which is USC, to win the national title than anybody else in the country.
Yeah, the house is going to love that, right? Makes you wonder, are they out there just doing the victory sign, people in there going to Fremont and going down the strip going, hey, USC, I know I got some inside info on USC. Go throw some money on the Trojans, knowing that, yeah, they're a popular pick because they got the new coach, they got Caleb Williams. They're going to make a lot of novice bettors think, hey, I'll throw some money towards them. Vegas is going to come out the winner.
Trying to figure out when this is written. I think ESPN had more up-to-date.
Odds.
Betting
odds?
Yes.
Who's betting on who right now?
Well, yeah, and how they've changed since they opened.
Yeah.
I would go with Clemson.
Shame on me.
I would go to Clemson because they're the ones that have proven that they can play with that set of teams.
Yep.
With a couple of national titles. Didn't they win two? Yeah, they won twice.
Yeah.
Played for the national title multiple times. What, Bama got them once or twice? LSU got them once?
It was like a four-year stint where they were playing each
other.
They're
every year, wasn't it?
I think they went 2-2 against each other.
And then Clemson got out that juggernaut LSU team.
Right.
In there. So that's who I would take just because they have the history. Now, the problem is with that, they also lost both coordinators.
Yeah.
That were kind of entrenched there, obviously Brent Venables being one of those. But it does feel like a season where it's those three, right?
Those top
three, and then who gets a chance to pull a giant upset in the first round of the playoffs?
Well, Clemson could fit that bill, and one could see Michigan doing that too. Now that they got a taste, can they repeat and get back there. So I could see those being those the two top teams out of the field. I'm trying to convince myself about A&M, but I can't just yet. Not this year. And who knows what next year looks like? We talked about the portal.
All right, here we go. This is what I was looking for. Live current odds.
All right.
Plus 180, plus 300 for Ohio State, so not the 375, plus 350 for Georgia. Still the same kind of spread between Georgia and Ohio State. They're just a little closer to Alabama. Clemson is next at plus 800. USC is next at plus 2,000. Then you got the Aggies at plus 2,500. That is the only, what is that, six? One, two, three, four. That's five, six. Six schools at 25 to 1 or less. Then you get to the next school. The seventh favorite is OU, 50 to 1. Michigan, Notre Dame at 60 to 1. Texas, Utah at 80 to 1. OSU, LSU, Penn State, Miami, Wisconsin, Tennessee at 100 to 1. There are my Kentucky Wildcats, 150 to 1. Of that next tier, put A&M in. Because they're quite a ways behind. So, or, now put USC in. Take Clemson out. Are you still riding with Michigan? 60 to 1's a pretty good number. I think looking at the numbers here, Utah at 80 to 1 looks pretty enticing if you don't believe in USC.
Yeah.
And Notre Dame, man.
I believe in Utah more than USC.
Think about this, though. Notre Dame at 60 to 1. They almost... they're going to have to finish, right? But they've got the ability to have one of their feet, one of their cheeks in a seat week one.
Right.
Because they're yeah. going to have the – if they can go into to Ohio and beat Ohio State and Columbus, they're going to have 1 foot in the door, if not one and a half.
Right.
And I think that's what you're trying to look for with these big, with the bigger numbers, is who can get to the show. Because it doesn't do you any good for somebody to win their conference but not be able to get into the playoff.
Right.
So, but now, here's the inverse of that. Notre Dame also can be like the Pac-12 has been the last few seasons and be virtually eliminated if they get blown out. Or at least kind of back on the back burner. What do you think? Oklahoma State, 100 to 1. Texas, 80 to 1. OU, 50 to 1. Then you got to go down to 150 to 1 at Baylor. Of those four Big 12 schools, who would you take? Value-wise.
Of the top four betting favorites?
Yeah.
I will go – I like certainty and I like establishment, you know, so I lean OSU. You know, we don't know about Venables. We like Venables, and we think he's putting the program in a good direction.
But you don't know.
But we don't know. Sark, okay, what's he got? Still some questions there, but we know we get with Mike Gundy.
That's right. And you know,
Miranda's still new too, but he looks solid.
What's crazy. The conference favorite by everybody around here is leaps and bounds the highest number. Baylor at plus 15,000. So you bet 100 to win 1,500 on them. Mm-hmm. From just a value, they might be the best. They might be the one that you would want to take. You're going to have to take a long shot anyway. Problem is their schedule. I know they come to Norman. They get OSU at home. The Texas game, Iowa State, Kansas State. That, without looking, I can't remember kind of where they're at. But I think what this tells me is, barring some sort of upset, Vegas expects this to be another two-team SEC playoff. Unless one of the Big 12 schools can go undefeated, or USC or Oregon go undefeated, or Utah, or Pac-12. It's setting up to have kind of what we saw last year.
Yeah.
Another year of two SEC teams in that Final Four.
Yeah, it looks like another boring year. SEC and everybody else.
How about Wake Forest at 20,000 to 1? We like them. No. Everybody forgets they won a bunch of games last year.
Hello, my name is Scott Garrison. You may remember me as Scott the Barber or just as Ron and Carla's son. I've been involved in our community since opening Scott's Barbershop on the southeast corner of 3rd and Main in 1998. Now I'm back in the same building as Garrison Financial. I started investing in my 20s. I invested through the dot-com crash and the Great Recession. I started caring for other people's money in 2018, and I truly enjoy sitting down with my clients, understanding their wants and needs, as well as what keeps them up at night. Whether my friends just want me to invest a little of their savings or want me to work with their tax and legal professionals to strive towards optimal efficiency, we can do it all. I believe communication is key to helping my clients reach their goals. For if we are faithful over a few things, we shall be given more. Contact me at scott@soonerwealth.com. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Garrison Financial and Cambridge are not affiliated. This communication is strictly intended for individuals residing in the states of Colorado, Nevada, Oklahoma, and Texas. No offers may be made or accepted from any resident outside the specific states referenced. Cambridge does not offer tax and legal advice.
The skinny on sports.
You can't say on the air.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
Welcome back, Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal. It's Garrison Financial Friday. Financial Fridays with Scott. He was in here earlier talking about the new arena for the Oklahoma City Thunder in downtown Elk City. He not only that, he can do everything. Manage your investments, or he can charge you hourly to help you build a plan for you to manage. Most of all, and he mentioned this earlier, he likes to work with the clients, and he likes to work with the accountants of those clients to streamline what the tax ramifications are and their returns. So Scott Garrison at Garrison Financial. Get a hold of him at scott@soonerwealth.com. He's on the southeast corner of 3rd and Main right here in Elk City. We appreciate him stopping by and jumping on as one of the sponsors for the show. Now, here we are, Jared. We're to that time that everybody's been looking for all day, forward to all day. What's on Jared's mind?
What is on my mind? Thank goodness we only have 2 minutes.
Oh, we can go long.
Okay. You know, it's kind of like the end of the winner of, what was that show on ESPN, where the four sports reporters and they get the points and whoever wins gets
Around the horn.
Around the horn. Yeah, I feel like I'm on the clock and I got an editorial here. Rest in peace, the turnover chain. Did you see that?
I did see that.
Rest in peace. Thank God. That thing was stupid. Anything like that to me is dumb. I think it's stupid. Your reward for getting a turnover is getting the turnover, not some chain, not some trash can, not some hoodie or fur coat. It's stupid. They introduced this thing in 2017, and they laid it to rest after this last season. You know what Miami's record was with the turnover chain?
What?
A measly 38-24.
Did you? Do you have the numbers pulled up?
Yeah, I looked it up.
How the turnovers went down since the chain came into existence?
Really?
Yeah. The first year they had like 33. They created like 33 turnovers, and every year was less. And last year was like 11.
It's ridiculous. It was stupid, and I'm glad. Thank goodness, Cristobal, good job. Not only is he recruiting at a high level, and he's trying to get the U back to where the U was. Get rid of that stupid turnover chain. I hope everyone else follows suit. Dumb. That's the first thing on my mind. Second thing on my mind, you mentioned Texas Tech. We didn't really talk about that. What's the booster club that they have? The Matador Club. They're going to give $25,000 to scholarship athletes. Is this across the board scholarship?
Just
basketball and football?
Just football?
Okay. That's all well and good. That's great. I heard some discussion about this on these airwaves in the afternoon, and I had a question. Our question came to me was, you know, you're giving so much control to these guys because allegedly that club and big boosters were the ones who got, was it Matt Wells, fired because they didn't like him?
I think he was 5-3 at the time.
At the time, he was 5-3, and he got canned. Now, what comes with that when you agree, when you're a part of this club and you're a part of, you know, you're a big oil man or something like that in real estate, whatever, you dedicate that kind of money to this, what do you expect? You expect some perks, right? You want some sideline passes, some suites with stacked mini bars, all kinds of stuff. Maybe a ride on the team bus from the airport, stuff like that. Grand hotel right next to the coach's suite. What if you don't get that? Because there's not enough to go around. I think that kind of breeds more disgruntled boosters than happy ones. Just a thought. That's on my mind.
Yeah, that's an unintended consequence.
I think no one talks about that.
Of the money.
Yeah.
When Jim's
look, you know what
recruit that, isn't getting to play quarterback over Bob's recruit.
Right.
Does Jim throw a fit? I mean, take his money back, and then you got the rest of the team. Only 50 of them get $25,000 instead of 100 because Jim took his money away because you're not playing his quarterback. Yeah, there's always some of that for sure.
I'm not saying Texas is at the Texas level, but we all know or allegedly know that what's been happening down in Texas is that the big boosters have been calling all the shots, and look where it's got them. And now that this NIL is such a thing, I don't think that changes really down there in Austin. And it looked like it's leaking up over into Lubbock. And listen, Lubbock, Texas Tech, they weren't at the level of Texas in football in their heyday. So it's a dangerous precedent. They better be careful with that because you can get a bunch of mad boosters than happy ones. Because at the end of the day, it's still Tech. 5-3, they very well could start again 5-3. Are they going to get mad again? And then you're going to get players mad because they're not going to get that promised $25,000.
I think they're one of the most interesting teams to watch in the Big 12 or what the new Big 12 is because of the hire they made. Joey McGuire is a legend in Texas high school football coaching, a legend.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see his ties into that group and him being one of those guys, one of that group, helping tremendously on the recruiting trail. And getting access for Tech to guys that they never really have had access to for real, just because of the connections that McGuire has to Texas high school football coaches. If that is true, and he can pull off some of those guys, now the question is, can he coach on a college level?
Right.
Those are two different things. Recruiting on a college level and coaching on a college level. Speaking of Tech, one of the last head coaches they had outside of before Wells, Cliff Kingsbury. Boy, Kyler Murray got paid. You see that?
Yeah. Yeah, that kind of answered our question yesterday of how happy he was or is in Arizona. Well, that definitely helps.
Yeah, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I think that was a bad move by the Cardinals.
Not if you're Kyler Murray. He thinks it's a great move.
Yeah, he's fine. I just, man, as much as everyone around here loves Kyler Murray, and he is phenomenal for the first half of the season.
Right.
But when the money gets earned or should get earned, what have we seen?
I think see an opposite effect there.
5'11", 200 and whatever pounds,
yeah,
wears down in the NFL.
Yeah.
And the problem with that is the snap reaction is, okay, well, let's just not let him run. What makes Kyler Murray Kyler Murray is the threat that he can run. And so if you take that away from him, then you got a 5'11 quarterback with a pretty good arm, and he's a little bit accurate. I mean, he's accurate, but now you've got a 5'11 quarterback. Eesh.
Yeah.
And you're paying him $46 million a year.
Yeah.
Track record says this is a bad contract. As much as the people around here love him because he's a Sooner, that's a bad contract.
Well, he loves it.
Of course he does. We love it for him.
Hope he has a good tax guy.
Yeah. Thank you, Scott Garrison. Have a great day.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.